You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hello, St. Louis and surrounding areas. You are listening to another edition of At Your Service, right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Howdy. Hello. Welcome. My name is Dave Simon, certified financial planner by day, the job that puts food on the table and pays all the bills. But occasionally they let me out for good behavior, and I get to come into KMOX and host this very show we call At Your Service. Now, in full disclosure, I'm actually not in the studio tonight. That's the beauty of technology. I came down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I guess it was close to a week ago, and specifically Arlington, Texas. You know where this is going? Yes, as a long-suffering Mizzou fan, what a year it's been, I met up with some old college buddies, some I haven't actually seen in some 40 years. This is kind of what happens sometimes when your alma mater has a dream season like this. You come together again, maybe people you haven't seen in a long time. It was just a fabulous, fabulous time. But since I've got family down here, I've just stayed. And what's nice is I can work remotely and also do this show remotely. So that's where I'm coming to you from. Actually, just west of Fort Worth is where I'm housed here for a couple more days, but I am flying back this weekend. Actually, the weather is about the same as what you all have back in my hometown of St. Louis. I was just checking the temperature, and I think there's like a 2 or 3 degree difference of a few hours ago, like 43 and 40. So, and it's raining down here right now. So it's that cold, yucky January rain. Very thankful, though, that it's above freezing, because as many of you know, this Dallas-Fort Worth area does get ice a lot. They don't get a ton of snow, but usually at least once a year, maybe a couple of years, the whole place shuts down due to ice storms. So I'm thankful for that. Welcome, everybody. Dave Simon's along with you tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in to KMOX and specifically this very show of At Your Service. So, question for you. Have you already bailed on your New Year's resolution? I hope not. We're not even 48 hours into the new year. Whatever the resolution is, I hope it's still going well for you. You know, like, okay, I got the gym membership, and Well, they were closed January 1st, but here it is January 2nd, and I got in there today, and man, I forgot how hard it is. I might skip tomorrow. No, don't skip it. Not yet. Give yourself a little breathing room. That's okay. Give yourself a little grace, but stay with it just a little bit. Well, Dave, my goal was to lose 15 pounds this year, and man, I had some pumpkin pie and whipped cream for breakfast this morning, so I've given up. No, don't. Stay with it. In all seriousness, I am not a resolutions guy. I think my own opinion is if there is something in your life that you really feel it's important to change, it's something habitual that you would like to change, it is a new lease on life in some way that you're looking forward to perhaps changing in your life, why wouldn't you just do it the day that it comes into your noggin? Why wouldn't you decide to say, okay, here it is in July, I need to lose some weight and do it? Now, I know a lot of people do, but there's something about this magical date of January 1st. There's a new lease on life. The new day is dawning, and this is what I'm going to start doing. And I think that's one reason why people fail. Think about this. It's kind of a psychological impediment in a way. If it's, let's say, early December, and you want to get in better shape, and you're putting up your New Year's resolutions, and that is, okay, next year in 2024, it's about time. I've reached a certain age. I need to lose a few pounds. That may not be the number one resolution, but that will be a byproduct of me getting back into better shape, and that's what I want to do. So I'm going to look around, get a gym membership, and January 1st, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm of the opinion, if it's early December, do it now. Because what you're telling yourself is, it's psychological, and I think it's kind of a subconscious thing that you don't realize, but what you're telling yourself is, if I have to wait a month, then it's a painful thing to do, and it's going to be very, very difficult, and I like where I am in life because it's easy, and I enjoy doing this. I enjoy being a little bit lazy. I enjoy that extra piece of pie. So I'm going to go ahead and spend the rest of the month of December just living large, and then I'm going to get serious. And man, that is setting yourself up for failure. I like to word it this way. If there's something in your life you want to change, don't phrase it, I have to do something. It's something that I need to do. No, you don't have to do it or need to do it. You get to do it. You have the freedom to be able to feel better. In that way, when you couch it in those terms, and you put that resolution into something that you are going to be such a better person. And yeah, go ahead and allow yourself to know it's going to be a little bit hard at first, but you're going to give yourself patience. This is what I do for a living, of course, in the financial service industry. I see it all the time where people want get rich schemes. They're jumping into things that eventually hurt them. They lose a bunch of their money, if not all of it, chasing meme stocks or buying Bitcoin at 62,000 or whatever the case may be, whatever the hot stocks or investments of the day. And that's not investing. That's not long-term investing. That's just messing around, playing with money that you need to treat a little bit better. And that's how your life is, whether it's your body, your mind, whatever. Treat it with more respect and treat it with the dignity that it deserves. And I would say, if it's something that you want to change, you do it today. And I'll give you a perfect example. Now, this is very, very minor. It's not like losing weight or getting healthy or anything like that. But I always wanted to learn a foreign language. Now, yeah, back in high school, I took some semesters of Spanish, and I took a couple in college, you know, more than 40 years ago, but that's it. I still remember a few Spanish words, but I'm not anywhere, of course, fluent in the language. And there was something, it was a little bit more than a year ago, and I told my wife, as I turned 60, I'm going to learn a foreign language. And there's a purpose to it. The purpose is to keep the brain active. I read a lot of books about that kind of stuff. You keep the body active, you keep the brain active. And one of the things that they talked about was learning a foreign language. It's like doing crossword puzzles all day long. So knowing me, and my wife knows me, she kind of had that look like, oh, geez, here we go again. whenever this guy gets something in his mind, he attacks it and it becomes an obsessive thing. I know it's something I'm still working on. And I don't do anything with just a minor approach to anything. I do attack it. I engulf it. I jump all over it. And in that case, I wasn't going to learn just Spanish. Now, that, of course, would be the smart thing to do, right? That would be more applicable to any American. If you're going to learn a foreign language, it's probably going to be something like Spanish or maybe Italian or French or German or whatever. No, I have to decide that I am going to take on a challenge of an extremely difficult language. And when I say, what do you think the most difficult language would be to learn? I think a lot of you would say, well, you know, probably Chinese. Bingo. So I told my wife, I'm going to learn Mandarin. No, you're not. No, I think I am. No, you're not. No, I really am. So this was like last November, not like 2 months ago, November of 22. And I thought about, okay, January 1st, I can, you know, I can start doing some research and I can look at all the apps. And then January 1st, I'm ready to go. And I thought, no, why would I wait till January 1st? It was around Thanksgiving of 22 at the time. And I said, I'm going to do it now. Well, fast forward to today, what, 13 and a half months later, and I'm still learning. And it is hard. There is no sugarcoating it, man. Learning any foreign language can be difficult, but there is really no natural comparison between English and Chinese. There is just no connection to it at all. You might as well go to a different planet, talk to aliens, and learn their weird language. It's the same kind of thing. Chinese is very tonal. It's kind of a really beautiful lyrical type language, but there's no connection to how we put words together or sentences together. But I'm actually doing fairly well, and my goal is, I'm a long-term planner. That's what I do for a living. I'm giving myself 10 years of studying practically every day, and then I'm going to go to China for the first time in my life, and I'm going to converse with everybody at around the age of 70. Yeah, I'm weird. I admit it. I'm weird. All right. I hope, seriously, that whatever your resolutions were, if you did make any of them, that you stick with them. Give yourself the freedom to skip a day or two, but keep your eye on the prize long term. And if you can't tell by now, I'm also struggling down here with allergies. I'm going to try to get through the next couple of hours here down in Fort Worth, Texas. So bear with me. I think this is a perfect time to take a break because I've got water and a little honey next to me, and I'm going to take some. But when we come back, there is a disconnect between how the economy is and how people feel about it. And it's going to play into the politics of 24. I want to dig into that, and that'll be a setup into some financial investment and economic issues that I think are very, very important to talk about here in the new year. So stick with us. My name is Dave Simons, filling in tonight on At Your Service. We shall return.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your Fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think bears are onto something. Honey is really good. I don't know why I don't ever. I think a lot of people do that. They'll just take that one teaspoon a day. It's supposed to have all kinds of nutritional value and good effects for you. I'm maybe onto something here, but I digress. All right. So I am perusing the financial sites this morning, as I normally do. I have a routine that I've been doing for decades. I get up in the morning, make my cup of coffee, and I used to open the Wall Street Journal when I had the newspaper delivered to my porch. Yes, you young people, that actually used to happen. But I guess maybe 5 years ago, I switched to the online stuff. I admit that I missed the crumbling, crinkling papers in my hands, but it is cheaper this way, frankly, and it's more mobile because I do more traveling in recent years. So anyway, that's my routine. And so after the journal, then I will answer some client emails that might have come in last night or early this morning, and then I start perusing other sites. I've got my usual places that I go. And this one caught my eye, this headline that was on MarketWatch.com. And it says, Americans feel worse about the economy than they should. And that's bad news for Biden. Okay, so let me start just with that headline. This is one of my pet peeves. And man, as I get older, I get more of them. Two sentences here. Let's just look at the first one. Americans feel worse about the economy than they should. Do you think that that's a little condescending? That's how I see it. Now, the author of the piece, Peter Morici, he doesn't write the headlines. As someone who used to be in the business of reporting for about a decade, I know how the sausage is made. And so the headline, they have their own editors and people who put the headlines on there. So that Peter didn't write that. But whoever did, I find it very condescending. Who are you to tell anybody how you should feel about the economy? Do you walk in their shoes? Do you know that maybe somebody actually is hurting? I know inflation has come down. And I know in my own personal little part of the world, I'm grateful things are going just fine for me financially. But I know there are a lot of people who are struggling. I've struggled in the past. It happens. We all go through it. So this thing about, hey, the economy's doing a lot better. Would you stop your complaining? All right. You put your big boy pants on and let's get going. No, there are people who are actually behind the eight ball because their wages have not kept up with inflation. Now, the second part of that title is right, that this is bad news for Joe Biden. I don't play politics on this show. I don't get into it very much. I certainly don't take sides. There is so much of that in today's world. You don't need someone else bloviating and giving hot takes about politics of the day. There are plenty of other places you can go to find that. And that's outside of my lane just a little bit in my expertise, although I do consider myself somewhat of a political junkie. So outside of that title, which always gets to me because it does kind of show your colors a little bit when you're putting a title like that together, when it's supposed to just be a regular article reporting facts and news, telling people how they should feel, you're just not seeing it right. And that's one of the things that the Biden administration has complained about, that some of the good news, a lot of the good news in the economy, well, it's just not being reported accurately or fairly. And I don't agree with that. You can easily go and find the data, and the data is actually pretty good. Let me explain why, in my opinion, where there is this disconnect. So first of all, let's start with the latest polling numbers, which has stayed pretty consistent and not in President Biden's favor. This just came out this morning, according to Real Clear Politics. Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the economy by 22.5% from those who approve to disapprove, 22.5%. That has gotten a little better in his favor. I think it was at one point 27%, but that's still a very large gap. But even more so when they specifically ask about inflation. How do you think the president should be judged on the inflation issue? The score is even worse. There's a 32-point gap between those who say, oh, he's doing great, to, man, it's been terrible. This guy is not doing what he should be doing as president and leading the way and getting inflation down. And I know a lot of you will look at that and go, yeah, I kind of though agree with the title of the article. The data, there's something that's not right here. If inflation, which was above 9% in the summer of 22, and the official inflation reading today is 3.1, we've seen that a 6-point drop. And yet people still don't think Joe Biden is doing a good job with inflation. What's missing? I'll tell you what's going on here. All right. Remember that inflation, we don't have economic cycle from an economic cycle standpoint where you might see something go up in price 20% and then right back down to where it was. And now it's like, oh, this is great. I'm paying the same thing for this product as I did 3 years ago. Some things are like that. Gas is probably the best example, where you can have gas prices at $2 and they shoot up to $5 and then go to $3, then $2.50, then up to $4, and then $2. Adjusted for inflation, gas continues to be lower than it was 40 years ago and even 20 years ago. And it was interesting, as I was driving down here to the DFW area before the Cotton Bowl, I stopped for gas in Oklahoma. And I drive a car that needs premium. And I don't remember where this was in. Where was this? Anyway, it was almost as I was getting into the Texas, right across the border. $2.89 a gallon of gas for premium in Oklahoma. And I think the average gas price in the country right now for just regular unleaded. Do we even need to say regular unleaded? I don't think we do. Just for regular gas is slightly above $3 a gallon. So again, there is that disconnect, but that's only with gas. How about car prices? How about home prices? How about a lot of your food items? Yes, some of the food items have come back down, but many of them not. The bottom line is this. Since right before COVID, inflation collectively is up 19%. So take your usual basket of goods and services from right before COVID and compare it to today, and Americans are paying on average 19% more than they were a few years ago. Meanwhile, wages on average are higher, but by 14%. So there you have the disconnect, where Americans might look at the data and go, wow, inflation is only 3.1%, but that's not how the average American looks at it. All they know is prices are much higher than they were a few years ago, and my paycheck has not been able to keep up. I was actually in the grocery store down here in Texas over the weekend, and there was an older gentleman. And I'm going to guess he was probably 80s, somewhere in there. And he was muttering to himself, but loud enough that I could hear. And he was in the cereal aisle. And he was saying, and I really felt for him because he was shaking his head and he was really upset. And he was saying loud enough, I can't believe these prices. And he put a box back and he took it off and he's shaking his head. This is ridiculous. Cereal prices. That is what a lot of America is suffering from. And that's why, and I don't know if people in the Biden administration know that, but they just don't want to address it, or they're really blind to the fact that a lot of these prices are permanently higher. It's kind of a cumulative effect. But you know what? what's really shows up, I think, in a lot of these polls, which are very subjective and they're hard to quantify in some of these sentiment polls, it's more than just inflation. They might ask how, well, what do you think the president, his job has been? Do you approve or disapprove of how he's handled the economy? And when people answer that, you know how many things are going on in your mind that it's more than just the economy? How about the after effects of the pandemic? We can't run away from the fact that I think there's still something in all of us. There's a little despondency over that that we've never completely gotten over. It just will take some time. Oh, how about political polarization? Can I get an amen on that one? And do you think that it's going to get better now in a presidential election year? It's already heating up. So it's all of that. That may not be a particular president's fault, the pandemic, or how we're so divisive in this country. It's a collective effort by all of us. But when you're in the White House, you're going to probably get more credit and more blame for things. And right now, that is being showered on President Biden. So that's, people have asked me, a lot of folks will say, why isn't the president getting more credit for a better economy? And usually I'll just answer it with that first point that I made, because it is the cumulative effect of inflation. You can't look at one number in isolation. You can't look at just that trend and say inflation was 9.1, now it's 3.1, and aren't we all feeling better? That's not the case, because of many of these prices are permanently higher. And if wages have only gone up 14%, that's the average, that means roughly half the people are below that, or they're unemployed. And that's the thing for the party in power, particularly in the White House, that's what they have to overcome. All right, I think that's a good segue to start talking about 2024 in the financial markets and what people are asking or predicting. And should we even listen to the professional prognosticators? The easy answer is heck no. I'll explain when we come back. More At Your Service coming up. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 8:35 in St. Louis. Dave Simons with you tonight. Hello there. So borrowing a song title, a pretty well-known one from pop star Britney Spears, Oops, They Did It Again. Talking about the professional prognosticating class, those who get paid millions of dollars every year to regale us with their insights and information about what the markets are going to do in the upcoming year. Now, let me take you back to yesteryear, 12 months ago. So we were coming off a really brutal 2022. In fact, it was the worst year for the financial markets since the 08 Great Recession. Remember that? The S&P 500 at one point was down about 25% during the year. So it was a true bear market, the first since the aforementioned Great Recession. It finished the year like down 19.5% or so. All right. And not much worked. Value stocks did better than growth stocks, but value was still down, small cap, large cap, international. It just didn't work. And so as we headed into the new year of 23, the professional prognosticating group of well-intentioned and well-meaning analysts decided, the majority of them did anyway, that this could be another rough year. And they came up with legitimate reasons. Look, the Fed is not done raising rates. The Russia-Ukraine war is not over, and it doesn't appear to be over anytime soon. Now, if you then had your crystal ball, and then you could add some other things on top of that, for example, oh, you mean we're going to have the worst Middle East crisis in like over 50? What? What just happened? They had kind of their own 9/11 on October 7th? What? And the Russia-Ukraine thing is still going on, and now we're sending battleships into the region? Oh my goodness, is this not good? The Fed continued to raise rates through the first half of the year? The 10-year bond actually went above 5%? That's supposed to kill the economy. I mean, what else can you get? And you can just keep adding. You say, oh man, okay, well, we're about to have another bad year. So as you now know, the S&P 500 had a rocking good year. And the NASDAQ, that high-flying tech index, had one of its best years ever, up over 44%, the NASDAQ. The laggard Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is kind of that old-fashioned, almost boring, plain vanilla dividend-paying stock index, which was, by the way, by the end of October, just a couple of months ago, a few months ago, was actually down slightly for the year. But because of the resurgence that we saw in November and December, the Dow finished up more than 14%. Congratulations. So you didn't really have to think too much, and you made pretty good money in 24. Much to the wrong-headed calls, much to the chagrin, I should say, of all those high-priced analysts on Wall Street who get it wrong every year. So what are they predicting this year? Well, of course, it's always going to be kind of where the sentiment is at any particular moment in time. And right now, the sentiment's fairly positive. It's fairly bullish. So what do you think? Are there any bears out there? Sure. A guy like Mark, his name just escaped me over at Morgan Stanley. It'll come to me in a second. But guys like Mike Wilson, who was bearish last year and was wrong, and he admitted, yeah, I kind of blew it, but he hasn't changed his mindset. And he could be right. Look, I am not taking any particular person to task here. I'm just saying it's a foolish exercise to listen to any of these folks and base your investment objectives on them. So the S&P 500 was up, I think it was 24.6%, and that includes dividends. I always include dividends because that's real money. A lot of times you'll just see what the basic index did, but, you know, total return, that's money that you got, whether you're reinvesting it or you're actually taking it and letting it build up in cash, that's money that is added to your return. So almost a 25% return for the S&P in 23 that pretty much nobody, very few people saw coming. And now we're supposed to believe them that this year might be positive. Maybe you go the opposite. Now, I will tell you this, this is not a statistical anomaly. There's some real meat behind this. But do you realize that the stock market has not had a down year since 1940 during a presidential election year when the incumbent is running for reelection? That's 13 times in a row. When you add up all the presidential election years where an incumbent is running for reelection, 13 times in a row. The most recent, of course, was 2020, when President Trump was running for re-election. And the market, despite the fact that it had that big crash in the spring due to lockdown, still finished up nicely for the year. So you go back all those years. But yeah, in fact, it's only happened twice. Only two times has the market finished on the downside when an incumbent was running for re-election. And they were kind of bookended around the Great Depression. 1932, when Hoover was running for re-election and lost, that was a down year. And then, like I said, 1940, when FDR was running for re-election, that was a down year. You can kind of look at that and go, well, you know, that makes sense. It's in and around the Great Depression. You take that period out, we've never had a down year. Now, let me give you the obvious disclaimer here, okay? There's no guarantee we can't have a down year. And some people will point to the fact that, yeah, politics is a little different these days. And we got a lot going on around the world. And I would say, well, we always have a lot going on around the world. And every time we get into politics, people say that this is going to be the worst ever. Yeah, it might be. I make no predictions. My point is, it is impossible, 100%, not 99% impossible, 100% impossible to guess the direction of the stock market. And if anybody gets accurate or close to it, it was 100%, not 99%, 100% luck. As some of you know, who get my email commentary that I send out on Fridays, and I've been writing that for like 24, 25 years, I do an annual Guess the Dow contest. It's a lot of fun. And I just send it out to the subscribers and say, okay, in fact, I just sent it out today for 2024. The winner for 2023 is somebody who's a retired pharmacist. Not a pharmacist, but he was in the, I guess, the biotech industry, and he's retired. And he's been a longtime client of mine, and he was like 38 points away. Imagine that. The Dow finishing up over 37.6, something like that. And a year ago, he just blindly pulled a number out of the hat, and he was 30-some points away. There isn't a professional market strategist on Wall Street who got within anywhere close to the shouting distance of that. And they are supposed to be the experts. And here's a man who's retired just saying, well, in fact, when I sent him the email, it was so awesome. I go, hey, man, you won. He didn't even remember. He had no idea what he picked. He goes, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm just picking the number out. I'm like, this is the proof. This is what I tell everybody. And yet, why do we take seriously any of these calls when we shouldn't? When we come back, I want to finish this first hour talking about the difference between performance-related and goals-related, or performance-oriented and goal-oriented. There is a difference. Think about that. During this break, think about, are you chasing performance, or are you chasing goals and objectives? And there is a little crossover there, but not as much as you think, all right? And that's the real difference. If you are actually more focused on your long-term goals, then you don't care that Jim Cramer is bullish or bearish. Again, not necessarily picking on that guy. He's kind of the amalgamation of all the market strategists out there because he's so well known. But I don't care. And I watch him during the day because I do appreciate some of his insight into some of the mechanics that are happening behind the scenes on a regular basis behind the market. But his opinion on where the market may go, he's no better than you. And I'm pointing to any one of you anonymously listening to this right now. Your opinion on where the market is going to finish this year is every bit as valid as that guy in some ivory tower on Wall Street who works for Goldman Sachs or wherever, who's paid a lot of money to tell you, I think the Dow is going to be up, or the S&P 500 is going to be up 8.2% this year, when he's going to be way off. Let me tell you something. I went back to 1926, and I've done this for a long time, this particular exercise. So through 23, that's 98 full years. Do you realize the number of times the market has actually finished between 8 and 12%? It's only four times. Between 8 and 12%, only four times. How about between 2 and 18%. If the market is supposed to average about 10% a year on average for 100 years, well, I've really given you a lot of runway here. Between 2 and 18%, you would think a majority of the time the S&P has finished there. No, how about 24 out of 98 years? Last year in 22 didn't, because it was down double digits. This year it was up close to 25%, and yet they always pick between 6 and 10% because that's the safe place, and nobody gets fired on Wall Street playing it safe. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello again, everybody. 10 minutes until 9 o'clock. Dave Simons, certified financial planner and just all-around nice guy, filling in. I will be on again next week, next Wednesday evening, filling in as well. I will be back in St. Louis. I'll be live in the studio.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 8:35 in St. Louis. Dave Simons with you tonight. Hello there. So, borrowing a song title, a pretty well-known one from pop star Britney Spears, Oops, They Did It Again. Talking about the professional prognosticating class, those who get paid millions of dollars every year to regale us with their insights and information about what the markets are going to do in the upcoming year. Now, let me take you back to yesteryear, 12 months ago. So we were coming off a really brutal 2022. In fact, it was the worst year for the financial markets since the 08 Great Recession. Remember that? The S&P 500 at one point was down about 25% during the year. So it was a true bear market, the first since the aforementioned Great Recession. It finished the year like down 19.5 or so. All right. And not much worked. Value stocks did better than growth stocks, but value was still down, small cap, large cap, international. It just didn't work. And so as we headed into the new year of 23, the professional prognosticating group of well-intentioned and well-meaning analysts decided, the majority of them did anyway, that this could be another rough year, and they came up with legitimate reasons. Look, the Fed is not done raising rates. The Russia-Ukraine war is not over, and it doesn't appear to be over anytime soon. Now, if you then had your crystal ball, and then you could add some other things on top of that, for example, oh, you mean we're going to have the worst Middle East crisis in like over 50? What? What just happened? They had kind of their own 9/11 on October 7th? What? And the Russia-Ukraine thing is still going on? And now we're sending battleships into the region? Oh my goodness, is this not good? The Fed continued to raise rates through the first half of the year? The 10-year bond actually went above 5%. That's supposed to kill the economy. I mean, what else can you get? And you can just keep adding. You say, oh, man, okay. Well, we're about to have another bad year. So as you now know, the S&P 500 had a rocking good year. And the NASDAQ, that high-flying tech index, had one of its best years ever, up over 44%. The NASDAQ. The laggard Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is kind of that old-fashioned, almost boring, plain vanilla dividend-paying stock index, which was, by the way, by the end of October, just a couple of months ago, a few months ago, was actually down slightly for the year. But because of the resurgence that we saw in November and December, the Dow finished up more than 14%. Congratulations. So you didn't really have to think too much, and you made pretty good money in 24. Much to the wrong-headed calls, much to the chagrin, I should say, of all those high-priced analysts on Wall Street who get it wrong every year. So what are they predicting this year? Well, of course, it's always going to be kind of where the sentiment is at any particular moment in time. And right now, the sentiment's fairly positive. It's fairly bullish. So what do you think? Are there any bears out there? Sure. A guy like His name just escaped me over at Morgan Stanley. It'll come to me in a second. But guys like that, Mike Wilson, who was bearish last year and was wrong, and he admitted, yeah, I kind of blew it, but he hasn't changed his mindset. And he could be right. Look, I am not taking any particular person to task here. I'm just saying it's a foolish exercise to listen to any of these folks and base your investment objectives on them. So the S&P 500 was up, I think it was 24.6%, and that includes dividends. I always include dividends because that's real money. A lot of times you'll just see what the basic index did, but, you know, total return, that's money that you got, whether you're reinvesting it or you're actually taking it and letting it build up in cash, that's money that is added to your return. So almost a 25% return for the S&P in 23 that pretty much nobody, very few people saw coming. And now we're supposed to believe them that this year might be positive. Maybe you go the opposite. Now, I will tell you this, this is not a statistical anomaly. There's some real meat behind this. But do you realize that the stock market has not had a down year since 1940 during a presidential election year when the incumbent is running for reelection? That's 13 times in a row. When you add up all the presidential election years where an incumbent is running for reelection, 13 times in a row. The most recent, of course, was 2020, when President Trump was running for re-election. And the market, despite the fact that it had that big crash in the spring due to lockdown, still finished up nicely for the year. So you go back all those years. But yeah, in fact, it's only happened twice. Only two times has the market finished on the downside when an incumbent was running for re-election. And they were kind of bookended around the Great Depression. 1932, when Hoover was running for re-election and lost, that was a down year. And then, like I said, 1940, when FDR was running for re-election, that was a down year. You can kind of look at that and go, well, you know, that makes sense. It's in and around the Great Depression. You take that period out, we've never had a down year. Now, let me give you the obvious disclaimer here, okay? There's no guarantee we can't have a down year. And some people will point to the fact that, yeah, politics is a little different these days. And we got a lot going on around the world. And I would say, well, we always have a lot going on around the world. And every time we get into politics, people say that this is going to be the worst ever. Yeah, it might be. I make no predictions. My point is, it is impossible, 100%, not 99% impossible, 100% impossible to guess the direction of the stock market. And if anybody gets accurate or close to it, it was 100%, not 99%, 100% luck. As some of you know, who get my email commentary that I send out on Fridays, and I've been writing that for like 24, 25 years, I do an annual Guess the Dow contest. It's a lot of fun. And I just send it out to the subscribers and say, okay, in fact, I just sent it out today for 2024. The winner for 2023 is somebody who's a retired pharmacist. Not a pharmacist, but he was in the, I guess, the biotech industry, and he's retired. And he's been a longtime client of mine, and he was like 38 points away. Imagine that. The Dow finishing up over 37.6, something like that. And a year ago, he just blindly pulled a number out of the hat, and he was 30-some points away. There isn't a professional market strategist on Wall Street who got within anywhere close to the shouting distance of that. And they are supposed to be the experts. And here's a man who's retired just saying, well, in fact, when I sent him the email, it was so awesome. I go, hey, man, you won. He didn't even remember. He had no idea what he picked. He goes, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm just picking the number out. I'm like, this is the proof. This is what I tell everybody. And yet, why do we take seriously any of these calls when we shouldn't? When we come back, I want to finish this first hour talking about the difference between performance-related and goals-related, or performance-oriented and goal-oriented. There is a difference. Think about that. During this break, think about, are you chasing performance or are you chasing goals and objectives. And you, there is a little crossover there, but not as much as you think, all right? And that's the real difference. If you are actually more focused on your long-term goals, then you don't care that Jim Cramer is bullish or bearish. Again, not necessarily picking on that guy. He's just, he's kind of the amalgamation of all the market strategists out there because he's so well known. But I don't care. And I watch him during the day because I do appreciate some of his insight into some of the mechanics that are happening behind the scenes on a regular basis behind the market. But his opinion on where the market may go, he's no better than you. And I'm pointing to any one of you anonymously listening to this right now. Your opinion on where the market is going to finish this year is every bit as valid as that guy in some ivory tower on Wall Street who works for Goldman Sachs or wherever, who's paid a lot of money to sit, tell you, I think the Dow is going to be up, or the S&P 500 is going to be up 8.2% this year, when he's going to be way off. Let me tell you something. I went back to 1926, and I've done this for a long time, this particular exercise. So through 23, that's 98 full years. Do you realize the number of times the market has actually finished between 8 and 12%? It's only four times. Between 8 and 12%, only four times. How about between 2 and 18%. If the market is supposed to average about 10% a year on average for 100 years, well, I've really given you a lot of runway here. Between 2 and 18%, you would think a majority of the time the S&P has finished there. No, how about 24 out of 98 years? Last year in 22 didn't, because it was down double digits. This year it was up close to 25%, and yet they always pick between 6 and 10% because that's the safe place, and nobody gets fired on Wall Street playing it safe. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello again, everybody. 10 minutes until 9 o'clock. Dave Simons, certified financial planner and just all-around nice guy, filling in. I will be on again next week, next Wednesday evening, filling in as well. I will be back in St. Louis. I'll be live in the studio, and I suspect, hopefully, that my allergies will be gone. Still kind of fighting it here, but we'll get through it, right? All right, so coming up in the second hour, man, we got some a lot of good stuff. At the beginning, I'm going to give you some ideas for those of you, especially for retirees, who need some income from their investments. And I'm not going to give you my opinion. There are actually some experts that are really good at this kind of thing. And every year they give me some guidance of maybe things to look for in my own little corner of the world as we develop portfolios that produce income. And I have found them to be very, very good at seeing kind of where we are and then extrapolating out into the future and saying, okay, these are some ideas that should work well in this environment. And I'm going to share that with you. I'm also going to give you my take on this whole Taylor Swift phenomenon. Yeah, this old 61-year-old bald man is going to chime in on Taylor Swift phenomenon. But it's going to be a take that I don't think many of you will see coming a little bit. But until we get there, we still have this little bit of the first hour. And I went into the break talking about the difference between performance-based and return. Or I'm sorry, performance-based versus goals-based. Think about that. What are you trying to accomplish? This is almost an existential question, if you will. What do you want your money to do for you? How are you treating it? Why do you have it? Why do you save it? Why do you invest it? What do you want it to accomplish for you? Now, if you're young, let's say you're 35 years old and you're just putting your head down right now, you're working hard, you're trying to maybe create a business, or you're rising up wherever you are, you're home with the kids, you've got a young family, you're paying off your mortgage, and you're putting money aside, and you don't really have a lot of goals necessarily where you're going to be at 60, 65. Yeah, you talk about it, but it's kind of this fuzzy thing way out beyond the horizon. You don't think about it every day. It's just kind of some nebulous concept that's out there. So investing is different for you. It is a little bit more performance-based because you can be more aggressive. For the rest of us, those people who are close to retirement or in retirement, is performance important? Of course. You don't want to invest in some portfolio that just doesn't make you money any year or has five down years in a row where the market goes up. There's a problem there. Your portfolio is not structured right, but that starts with your goals. Make sure you're leading with the right objective here. So if your goal, let's say you are of a certain age and you want to retire in 5 years, and this is what your income needs are going to be, and you've got this kind of insurance, and this is how you're going to pay for health care, and you want to have a succession plan with kids and grandkids, and you may have this pension, and do you take the lump sum, or when do you take Social Security? All of these things are the most important thing to consider. And then you have a portfolio that you develop that will help you reasonably attain those goals while fitting within your risk tolerance. And performance is a happy byproduct of that. There will be years where you are down, and there will be years where you make more money than you probably deserved, but it averages out over time, and your portfolio over time will go up and to the right. Singles and doubles, not home runs and strikeouts. That has never been a good long-term solution. One of the best little articles I've ever read that really points to this just came out in Barron's over the weekend. And it's written by a guy named Stephen Sears. And bear with me here. I'm just going to read a minute or two of it. But it gets to this point about if you are only looking at performance and not goals, you will fail every time. He writes this: investors play a winning hand for a year or more, but they ultimately give back some or all of their gains to thoughtful investors who understand that investment success is not defined by a year or two of high gains, but years of consistent returns and managing risk. The indexes are false gods that often cause people to march greedily into overripe investments and then panic when the momentum ultimately ebbs. In other words, for most investors, gains appear as fact, even if they're unrealized, and risk doesn't exist until it does. Sooner or later, investors who have seen their portfolio surge in value because of luck and market momentum will encounter a harsh market fact. Something always happens, and it generally is not something that many people expect, so true, that rises up and sweeps away the unrealized gains. When that happens, the undisciplined and overconfident will feel like tourists who have returned from a great trip only to get into a bad accident on the way back from the airport. Stocks may trend higher over time, but few people are disciplined enough to sit tight in a well-curated portfolio of blue-chip stocks. Instead, they are hostages to their own emotional swings, and that inevitably hurts them. That is Stephen Sears of Barron's over the past weekend. One thing I will disagree with him. At the end, you heard me say it, few people are disciplined enough to sit tight. I don't think that's accurate. I actually think most investors do sit tight. Or maybe I live in rose-colored glasses, and it's the people I work with and talk to who do sit tight, as painful as it and as difficult as it might be. But that's always the right thing to do, especially if you are goals-oriented and not performance-oriented. If you're performance, you will move in and out, and you will never meet the most important thing, the aforementioned goals. Stay with us, folks. News, weather, sports at the top of the hour, and then we shall return. Hello again, everybody. 10 minutes until 9 o'clock. Dave Simons, certified financial planner and just all-around nice guy, filling in. I will be on again next week, next Wednesday evening, filling in as well. I will be back in St. Louis. I'll be live in the studio, and I suspect, hopefully, that my allergies will be gone. Still kind of fighting it here, but we'll get through it, right? All right, so coming up in the second hour, man, we've got a lot of good stuff. At the beginning, I'm going to give you some ideas for those of you, especially for retirees, who need some income from their investments. And I'm not going to give you my opinion. There are actually some experts that are really good at this kind of thing. And every year they give me some guidance of maybe things to look for in my own little corner of the world as we develop portfolios that produce income. And I have found them to be very, very good at seeing kind of where we are and then extrapolating out into the future and saying, okay, these are some ideas that should work well in this environment. And I'm going to share that with you. I'm also going to give you my take on this whole Taylor Swift phenomenon. Yeah, this old 61-year-old bald man is going to chime in on Taylor Swift phenomenon. But it's going to be a take that I don't think many of you will see coming a little bit. But until we get there, we still have this little bit of the first hour. And I went into the break talking about the difference between performance-based and return. Or I'm sorry, performance-based versus goals-based. Think about that. What are you trying to accomplish? This is almost an existential question, if you will. What do you want your money to do for you? How are you treating it? Why do you have it? Why do you save it? Why do you invest it? What do you want it to accomplish for you? Now, if you're young, let's say you're 35 years old and you're just putting your head down right now, you're working hard, you're trying to maybe create a business, or you're rising up wherever you are, you're home with the kids, you've got a young family, you're paying off your mortgage, and you're putting money aside, and you don't really have a lot of goals necessarily where you're going to be at 60, 65. Yeah, you talk about it, but it's kind of this fuzzy thing way out beyond the horizon. You don't think about it every day. It's just kind of some nebulous concept that's out there. So investing is different for you. It is a little bit more performance-based because you can be more aggressive. For the rest of us, those people who are close to retirement or in retirement, is performance important? Of course. You don't want to invest in some portfolio that just doesn't make you money any year or has five down years in a row where the market goes up. There's a problem there. Your portfolio is not structured right, but that starts with your goals. Make sure you're leading with the right objective here. So if your goal, let's say you are of a certain age and you want to retire in 5 years, and this is what your income needs are going to be, and you've got this kind of insurance, and this is how you're going to pay for health care, and you want to have a succession plan with kids and grandkids, and you may have this pension, and do you take the lump sum, or when do you take Social Security? All of these things are the most important thing to consider. And then you have a portfolio that you develop that will help you reasonably attain those goals while fitting within your risk tolerance. And performance is a happy byproduct of that. There will be years where you are down, and there will be years where you make more money than you probably deserved, but it averages out over time, and your portfolio over time will go up and to the right. Singles and doubles, not home runs and strikeouts. That has never been a good long-term solution. One of the best little articles I've ever read that really points to this just came out in Barron's over the weekend. And it's written by a guy named Stephen Sears. And bear with me here. I'm just going to read a minute or two of it. But it gets to this point about if you are only looking at performance and not goals, you will fail every time. He writes this. Investors play a winning hand for a year or more, but they ultimately give back some or all of their gains to thoughtful investors who understand that investment success is not defined by a year or two of high gains, but years of consistent returns and managing risk. The indexes are false gods that often cause people to march greedily into overripe investments and then panic when the momentum ultimately ebbs. In other words, for most investors, gains appear as fact, even if they're unrealized, and risk doesn't exist until it does. Sooner or later, investors who have seen their portfolio surge in value because of luck and market momentum will encounter a harsh market fact. Something always happens, and it generally is not something that many people expect, so true, that rises up and sweeps away the unrealized gains. When that happens, the undisciplined and overconfident will feel like tourists who have returned from a great trip only to get into a bad accident on the way back from the airport. Stocks may trend higher over time, but few people are disciplined enough to sit tight in a well-curated portfolio of blue-chip stocks. Instead, they are hostages to their own emotional swings, and that inevitably hurts them. That is Stephen Sears of Barron's over the past weekend. One thing I will disagree with him. At the end, you heard me say it. Few people are disciplined enough to sit tight. I don't think that's accurate. I actually think most investors do sit tight. Or maybe I live in rose-colored glasses, and it's the people I work with and talk to who do sit tight, as painful as it and as difficult as it might be. But that's always the right thing to do, especially if you are goals-oriented and not performance-oriented. If you're performance, you will move in and out, and you will never meet the most important thing, the aforementioned goals. Stay with us, folks. News, weather, sports at the top of the hour, and then we shall return.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.